WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have these $10,000 Show Me tickets. They had a $1 million Show Me winner earlier this week when I had John Martin. Now, we're going to be at Costas on Thursday, and we're going to shut it down for a week or two because I'm having 31 crab cake days in the month of August. If you're around this month at all, and you're one of those guys saying, hey, Ness, who's got the best crab cake? I'm re-releasing all of the crab cakes from last summer, this summer, each day, one day, all during July. You'll see last August crab cakes. Not going back to many of the same places. Might be one or two places we go back to. This guy joins me to chat about life and things and computers and science and technology and the web, as well as being my web doctor and the chief digital officer here. He is Mike Rosenfeld from Web Connection. He does outsourced chief digital officer work. If you own a business and need tech help and web help and getting people to your doorstep, Mike's a great resource for that. You've heard the ads and whatnot, but this week is particularly disturbing, right? Like the web is how we all get our information. It's where we learn our universe, whether it's the Fox News universe of MAGAs and Donald Trump, or whether it's the rest of us. Then there's sort of the aftermath of these horrific shootings that happen, and realizing that the web is sort of an incubator for all sorts of ish, is it not, Mike Rosenfeld?
It is. We've talked about in the past the good, the bad, and the evil of the internet, and when it started, or when I started my career in 1995 with bright big eyes in my late 20s, I was like, you know, this is awesome, but you don't think of some of the negative consequences. And I think the rate of these shootings and the makeup of the shooters, it's undeniable that the internet plays a role in getting them where they, you know, where they explode. And I think if we understand that, we can maybe do a better job of trying to fix some of these broken people.
Well, I remember when the web came on, and turn of the century, and I'm a public figure, and I saw things that I thought, that's got to be actionable. You have to be able to sue them for that. You have to be able to fine them for doing these, you know, horrible things. And at least in my experience, and I guess in the experience of the real scumbags, the Peter Thiels of the world, and, you know, the people that take freedom to a different level into some sort of space where abuse and freedom are, you know, there's a thin, thin line there, especially when you're talking about the web and bullying and how many lives the web has cost in that way over the last 20 years, psychologically and intimidation and embarrassment and hostage taking, whether it's your, old pictures, revenge, like all of the awful emotions that, right, that we would say the Bible teaches us about, right? Like all of the worst things, theft, all of that, it's all there too.
Yeah, I mean, so, I've had a conversation like this recently, and I just like, you and I aren't researchers. We just go with what our gut tells us and what we see. But, when we were, I guess we're at a certain age when we're like, when we were young, you know, like our parents did, but when we
I did
were
that
young,
one the other day on the internet, tell me the place I can't eat anymore that went out of business. And people were like, Farrell's at Golden Ring Mall. Like, oh, I feel young again, you know? Yeah, and I'm thinking life was different then. We had phone booths then with a quarter that we needed, right? Or even 15 cents back in the day.
Exactly. But you know what we had back then that they still have now is bullying. We saw bullying. I like to believe that I was not a bully, and I'm pleased that I wasn't bullied, but I definitely saw it.
I'm from Dundalk. Everyone was bullied. Everyone was shamed. Everyone. Okay. I mean, like literally, I mean, by someone somewhere along life's highway. Right.
Not a new phenomenon. What is new, is, and this was brought out by the woman who was the Facebook whistleblower who appeared in Congress, who said, and I remember this specifically, she said, when we were younger, kids were bullied, and then the bell rang at 3, and they had peace and comfort because they got to go home. They didn't have to deal with getting bullied anymore. They were with their family, maybe the, you know, some friends who were not also potentially bullied. And then it started all over again at 7:30, 8 o'clock the next day when they went back to school. Now you can't escape it because you leave school, and then with social media and the ability to just be always present, you're bullied constantly 24/7. And that difference of just constant bullying is unique to this generation and the generation, you know, before it. And you know, the availability of guns was no different. I mean, a lot more people have them, but if you wanted a gun back then and you wanted to go to a school and do a school shooting, you could do it. It just wasn't a thing. So what changed? And some people will say, beyond the constant bullying, some people say it's, you know, video games. And like I said, I'm not a researcher, but if you look at, I mean, my oldest son, who didn't have to practice shooter drills, he's 28. He played Halo and shooter up games and war games, huh?
Paintball, probably.
Paint with laser tag. I mean, but even gruesome war games were out then, but his generation didn't go shooting people. So while I think it could have some contributing factor, I don't think it's the only one. But then it's this.
I think violence in front of young people. I mean, I sat in one of my sponsors the other night and literally watched two people get in a cage and beat the shit out of each other. I mean, and this is going on all day, every day on TV. ESPN sanctions it now. Blood everywhere. Guys just punching each other in the face. Heads jerking back. I mean, all the stuff that we don't like about football with concussion, right? All the things we were like, no, that's not good. All the things that Howard Cosell talked about with Tex Cobb, 40 years ago, right? I mean, it's all still there. And this is sanctioned. And I mean, I remember when the UFC thing with Johnny Rallo would come over to my studio, and I was an altar boy and played Little League baseball and football with Johnny Rallo. And was trying to get it sanctioned around here as a sport, not a blood sport, but like a sport. Renzo Gracie and like on the mat and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I have friends that take their kids into it. I see it, and it's patently so violent that I don't think it should be legal. That's my opinion of it. But millions of people sanction it. It's like lions in Rome, right? Gladiators and all that. It is now so sanctioned and so... At least with wrestling, you know, our parents would tell us that's fake, even if the blood was real and they were razoring themselves, as we learn later. But just that as a sport, that is a incredibly popular sport amongst gun owners and amongst hunters and amongst people that like gladiatorial, I think that's the word, behavior. And it's in HD now, it's in big screen, and you can sit there and eat chicken wings and have a medium rare steak and drink a beer while you watch it. And I the amount of violence, my father, who liked boxing and like all that, if my father were alive and saw these guys getting in a cage, he'd say, what street corner is that going on in Lee? It's like a dog fight for people. Is what it looks like to me. And it's always felt that way. It's felt that way when I've gone to it.
Well, look, because we're not researchers, we're just going by our observations. While you were talking, I did look up the demographics of a UFC fan. And it could argue, we could argue that a line from one of my...
There's a Venn diagram there somewhere, right?
Yeah, from one of my favorite bands, Pink Floyd. All these things could be bricks in these shooters' wall. So here's the demographics: 75% male, 60% white, 60% between ages 25 and 44, and 60% making under $50,000 a year.
Well, listen, you can talk to me about lacrosse's growth, and people do. Local people will talk about it. All of these sports, the NFL obviously has grown exponentially. The NBA's grown exponentially. Baseball's done whatever shrinking it's done, despite the fact that the Orioles have won some games this week. And wherever sports are – This didn't exist 20 years ago. Well, I've been on the radio 31 years. We spent the first 15 years trying to get it legal, right? So the fact that it's gone from zero to this, it's by far the fastest growing sport. And you've just pointed out that most of its audience is going to be on the planet the next 20 or 30 years, right? So they've got that going for it that baseball doesn't have, and certainly horse racing and boxing. I mean, it put boxing out of business kind of sort of, right?
Right. Well,
all based in uber incredible violence, extreme human violence without a weapon.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's extreme human violence without a weapon.
Right. And I guess it could be argued that that doesn't help things, but you know, and could be a contributing factor.
Well, I just say it is something violent. I see. I don't sit around playing the war games. You talk about these war games. I see the commercials for it. Boom, 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 bang, 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 bang. You know, and I guess there's blood and guts, and I guess it's as realistic as Lamar breaking a tackle is in a Madden game. It looks real, right? Like these video games look really real. I haven't watched a murderous. I see enough murderous videos for real in Highland Park and for real. Man, every third day there's a mass shooting, and if you want to find the video of the blood and guts, it's all sitting there. If you want to see this 72-year-old man that was murdered 4 days ago in Highland, you can find the video for that. You can find the real videos now, right?
Yeah, it's terrible, I think. So let's go back to the first school shooting, the first major one.
Columbine, or did I get that wrong?
No, you did, but some would say it was the clock tower shooting in Austin.
See, I go back to when I think of mass murders, I think of the San Ysidro McDonald's thing. You know, when I think of San Ysidro, like I know where that is. I've been there. It's San Diego, but by the border in Tijuana. And like these towns, Columbine, right?
Yeah.
Parkland. Yeah. You know, they just get a name. Aurora. These are places. This is White Marsh. This is Perry Hall. This is Dundalk. This is Towson. You know, you wouldn't want Patapsco to have that reputation. You wouldn't want them talking about Sparrow's Point for a million. You wouldn't want to hear that. But these communities, these names, are Highland Park is a place that I have gone many, many, many times in my life to see concerts at Ravinia Festival, which is one of the most lovely Merriweather Wolf Trap places you'd ever want to go. Mm-hmm. Every musician in the world has played at Ravinia and Highland Park. So Highland Park will forever be 4th of July murder spree place now, right? Now it's a sickness we have in this country right now, Mike.
Yeah, it is for sure. So Columbine was April of 1999. So think back to your internet usage and what things were like in April of 1999. It was before the internet bubble burst, and high school kids may have been online for four years. Websites were...
There was definitely chat rooms then. It was definitely AOL and CompuServe, and like that was going on.
Absolutely. But those were very public, not the dark web. And I don't think these characters in Columbine were sophisticated enough to figure out the dark web. What they were a couple of guys who communicated in person their discontent for life, their disregard for human life, their grievances, and they together went to Columbine and did what they did. This kid on the 4th of July was participating in the dark web in discussion groups of other people around the world just like him.
Encouraging him, obviously, right?
Well, but they too were, some were posers. I'm going to go up and shoot up a school. Life stinks. What is this all about? People are horrible. There's this, the humanity is no, just no feeling, no whatever. And there's this community of people instead of these Columbine, these two, three kids getting together in their basement, talking about, you know, and daydreaming about what they did. There's this all consuming just behind your keyboard with people all over the place.
Well, I mean, we go back to like 9/11 and radicalization, and we sat here in this country. How could they be radicalized in that way and to do these horrible things? And you know, it's going on every day here 20 years later. It's going on every day here. Right. And where are the police of this, the FBI of this, the people shutting down the hate on the internet. It's not, there aren't enough cops there. Right. You know, kind of reminds me driving on 695 and everybody's doing 85 miles an hour. I know you've witnessed this too. Every day I get on the beltway, people are racing, literally racing now,
yeah.
not just driving really fast because it's a gig. There's two or three or four who've gotten together somewhere on the web or somewhere at, you know, in some alley and decided they're going to go race their cars, you know, across York Road. Right. So, yeah. I people getting together and doing crazy things. There's just not enough cops. There's not enough police to police this behavior.
Oh, yeah, I guess in your example, I'm trying to climb in their brain. Is it that the likelihood and the concentration of police that they would get caught is low and therefore it's worth the risk? Or is it, which I think it is, I don't give a crap. I don't care. I'll get a ticket. So I get a ticket. I'll be in and out of jail. It's worth the thrill. I don't care about other people's lives. I don't care about the people who are driving and following, you know, within limits, the speed limit. I don't care. This is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. And I hate to sound pessimistic, but I think that's more of what's going on than it is. We're not going to get caught. You know, what are the chances? The odds are slim. And even if it is what you said, and it is, the odds are slim, the total disregard of other people, you know, they know there's a risk. They know there's a risk to them. They're willing to take the risk. You know what? Do what they did. I'm going to age myself. The drag racing like in Greece, you know, go under a bridge with another car. And if the two of you die, that's fine. But when you go on the highway knowingly and we're weaving in and out of traffic knowingly, knowing that the risk to you, which you're willing to take, is greater, but the people around you, you don't care about. It's just part of what's going on these days. It's terrible.
Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is our web doctor and chief digital officer at WNST. He's at Web Connection. You can find him at webconnection.com. And we'll talk about outsourced chief digital officers and what they do. But you said dark web. You said that. Like, I think that's an interesting comment. It seems like that's thrown around a little bit. What do you consider the dark web? You know, I had the mayor on a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about ghost guns, right? And when he explained it all to me and they're trying to ban ghost guns, I'm thinking to myself, let me get this straight. So this guy over here makes this piece and this guy over here makes this piece and this guy over here makes the bullets. And they just kind of give you a little bit of a loose manual on how you put it together, right? Like I would think the dark web is a little bit more direct even than that, right? Like there are these incel groups and like all of these people, these guys that march around with the hoods on going through cities now. I mean, basically the KKK in plain sight, right? That's what they are. That's what they represent. But they are clearly meeting online, right? Like all of the organization of January 6th happened online and happened digitally. Even if the orange guy down in Mar-a-Lago doesn't think that his little fat fingers when he was tweeting out things on January 6th, every single thing that happened was monitored at the Capitol, right? Like through Wi-Fi and through location, through all of that, right? Like there is a way to source all of this back, I think, right? Like this kid who's sitting in Highland Park, missing half a frontal lobe of his brain with a father who maybe was missing the other half running as a Trumper and got beaten, like all of that. This kid's online on places that you and I could click right now and bring it into the chat room if we wanted to, right? Like these aren't special places that you need to have a special key. The dark web is a click away, right?
Well, it's actually what you thought it wasn't. So it's sites that are not accessible via search engines, via your traditional browser, requiring an anonymous browser. The browser that they use typically is called Tor, T-O-R, and it accesses sites that are outside the traditional web.
So there is a dark web that I would have no way to get to these places without access to them, without having a buddy kind of tell me about it somewhere over on Facebook or something.
And,
right.
Yeah, and a specific type of browser that's used to make you anonymous and to access those sites.
You know what? One something I should do is when I have the Dutch Rupert's Burger types on here, what's being done? What lawfully is being done to end this, to stop this? It is freedom of speech, right?
Yeah. So the problem is that technology is such that you can really hide who you are and where you're coming from. Like, you know, you get these anonymous, you keep yourself anonymous.
Wasn't there that browser that says that you know, you won't gather any cookies and like they've later learned that that's a scam too, right?
Well, that's DuckDuckGo is what you're talking about. And they did find that they were providing data to Microsoft. So that kind of hurt them. But
there is no like not fingerprint, right? Not in the modern era.
No, I mean, this dark web is as close as you can get. Now, when they found who this guy was, they were able to go to his home. And look, I mean, the FBI and the tools that they have to decompile everything that someone's doing to try to hide themselves is able to do. But in real time, it's very difficult. And you talk about cops on the road stopping you know, these speeding cars. Imagine all these people who are using their First Amendment right to say some stuff that's scary. And we want the FBI and law enforcement to be able to trigger these people and be able to watch them, but figure out who all these people are. They're trying to hide their identity. They're trying to hide their whereabouts. And we're expecting the under-resourced agencies to be able to, in real time, find them before they climb a ladder and start shooting down at people. Well,
the first thing is making sure they don't get a gun, right? That would be the first state responsibility to protect you and your children, right?
Well, look, they just passed a law a week or two ago, which is the first meaningful law that was passed. If you're on one side of the aisle, you're like, it's not close enough. If you're on the other side of the aisle, you're like, I can't believe you gave in to something, but at least it wasn't much. The one thing I did say yesterday is, and I want you to think about the people that you grew up with. So I was one of the people who...
I don't have to think about the people I grew up with. I was in Dundalk last weekend, so go ahead.
Okay.
So, I was at the Heritage Fair in the beer garden. I wondered how many gun owners were there.
Well, think about... So I just was right before the Roney was our last high school reunion. And I was a group, one of many who was organizing it. And we did we used, you know, the web to recruit people to come from all over the country. People were all spread out.
Can't imagine a guy from Web Connection would use the web to connect with people.
Exactly. So we had a happy hour of Facebook Live, and it was only for people in our high school class. And there was a discussion from a kid who I remember being, if I was to, you know, the most likely to succeed, the prettiest, the prom king, the prom queen, this kid would have been potentially most likely to shoot up our school if that was a thing.
Sure.
He was definitely bullied. He was very awkward. And he at 52 years old, which was he was at the time, went into this chat room and said, I don't know that I want to come. High school wasn't a great experience for me. And we all knew who he was. And we're like, you know what? We're all grown up now. And if you feel like you want to go, you should go. And we encourage you to go. So this guy not only came, he was now the best looking. He was a brick. He had 0% body fat. All the girls were commenting, who is that guy? Because he was unrecognizable. From the age of 18 or whenever, I think that's approximately the age you leave high school, to when he discovered himself, when he went away either to college or just went away from that cauldron of ugliness for someone who's bullied, he found himself. And he never at 21 would have been a guy who I would have said was the most likely to shoot up our school. So one of the shortcomings, in my opinion, of the new law is, I think the age is still 18 when you can get these guns. They've increased the background checks. And looking at your high school transcripts and mental health records, which is an improvement, But I believe when you look at these kids, it's very odd to be at 21, 22, 23, because just that difference in age, your brain becomes more fully developed. So I just think these 17, 18 year old, typically white kids that are able to get guns legally.
And they can't buy a beer.
Right. Can't buy a beer.
You know, like, I'll leave you with this. By the way, Mike Rosenfeld's here. He's a web connection. I'm going to give him a chance to give his elevator speech for all the things he does for us here digitally and out on the web. But the pitcher for the White Sox the other day, who's from Australia, Liam Hendricks, I heard his Aussie accent. And, you know, he talked about coming over to America and said, come over here. I had to get a license to drive a car, but I can go to some states and get a gun. He's in Australia. They don't get guns there. Mm-hmm. It makes zero sense to him. He's like, whoever thought this up was stupid. Right. Exactly. Giving 19-year-old I think about this all the time from my Dundalk background, because there were bullies everywhere. There were bad people everywhere. I mean, literally, I grew up with that. Several of the guys in my elementary school are either dead, in jail. Like, I have all of that in my background. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, if they gave everybody in my neighborhood a gun when they were 18, there had been a lot of dead people. And that's just my neighborhood. I'm not thinking my neighborhood wasn't any better or worse than most other places, but I'm thinking this is insanity. It's insanity from a 53-year-old man to think about what it would have been like if every 18, 19, and 20-year-old would have had a gun when somebody hit on my girlfriend or I hit on their girl. Like, literally all of this beer, alcohol, drugs, all of that thrown into it, family issues. Oh my God, brothers fighting, like stuff that, if everybody had a gun, somebody would have used one. Well, and that's what I said to my wife. And if I had a gun at every point in my life, I might have shot somebody by now. Probably would have a couple different times. Honestly, some people have pissed me off.
But here's the deal. You could have had a gun. We could have had a gun. I could have had a gun. Those laws, the ability, the First Amendment didn't just happen now when when these young people are shooting.
I wouldn't want to live with the consequences of shooting someone. You know what I mean? Like, literally.
And it's not you would never have been a school shooter, but look at the people who, like the guy I recognize that I just explained in my story. He didn't get a gun. He could have gotten a gun. There were no school shootings.
But these shootings that are happening in Baltimore City, they're not about school shootings are one thing, but shootings in general, just people shooting each other. They always seem to know each other. And as the mayor said, there's always a beef. There's always a beef, right? We solve our beefs with guns. That's different than we did this 50 years ago. Mike, tell everybody about Web Connection. I want to give you a chance to do that.
You got it. So sorry to be so deep, but you know, this stuff is real. If we don't talk about them, you know, and we don't understand each other, it's a problem. So Web Connection, we are celebrating this summer our 28th year in business. We are outsourced chief digital officers. It's very difficult for people to wrap their arms around, so I'll try to make it easy. If you're a business owner, you know that the web's a game changer and should be for your business. Your website's not performing. You have no idea what you're doing for social media. You may have some marketing intern or someone in marketing running it. You don't know about online advertising. You don't know how to fill the funnel with new opportunities, new business leads. That's what we do. We come in and we help small to mid-sized businesses establish their digital strategy with the goal of building and growing their business so that they don't have to watch their competitors kick their ass all the time. They'll say, oh, they're on Google. They always come up number one, number two. I'm nowhere to be found, or just people aren't using my website. You know, so some business owners like the internet's not for real. It's overrated. But the ones that come to me know that it's the real deal. They just don't know what they're doing and they need someone to lead them.
You can find Mike at Web Connection. You can find him out on the front at WNST, and you can find me at nasty at WNST.net or Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. Mike, I appreciate you, man. We will get back together and discuss all the beautiful things the web provides for us, including Baltimore Positive and Web Connection. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and sometimes you tackle these tough issues, but someone has to do it. We're BaltimorePositive.com.